Good afternoon. Today I will be reporting on a project that was conducted as part of my dissertation work. And so to give you a brief introduction, we know that winter injury is a complex stress made of many interaction components such as direct low temperature kill, low temperature fungi, desiccation, and anoxia. And also, turf grass cultivars and also species vary in their susceptibility to these winter stresses. For example, we know that perennial ryegrass is highly susceptible to winter injury in comparison to other cool season turf grass species such as Kentucky bluegrass or creeping bentgrass. And so this is such a concern with perennial ryegrass because it is a widely utilized cool season turf grass species because of its quick establishment rate as well as its superior wear tolerance. And so primarily, injury associated with perennial ryegrass is due to direct low temperature kill. Therefore, there's a need for development of cultivars of perennial ryegrass that have improved freezing tolerance. So with this in mind, research has been conducted at the University of Minnesota in identifying new accessions that have shown enhanced freezing or improved freezing tolerance in comparison to currently available cultivars. So knowing that there's this variability in freezing tolerance among cultivars as well as among these accessions, it begs the question as to what are the mechanisms responsible for these differences that we're seeing. And so we know that the acquisition of freezing tolerance occurs through the process of cold acclimation, which is triggered by environmental cues such as decreases in photoperiod as well as decreases in temperatures. And so these environmental cues and trigger cold acclimation, which then results in an induction of several different cellular modifications, such as the accumulation of compatible solutes, as well as alterations in membrane composition and stability, and the enhancement of antioxidant scavenging capacity. And so all of these modifications that take place work together to minimize cellular dehydration and also membrane disruption that can happen under conditions of freezing temperatures. And so we know that current or previous research has been conducted looking at these physiological modifications, and more recently there's been molecular work looking at modifications that occur in perennial ryegrass cultivars during cold acclimation. However, specifically, these studies have looked at the leaf level. There is limited information available as to the changes that are occurring at the crown during cold acclimation. So in addition to limited information available about this, it's not clear whether the differences in freezing tolerance are due to differential rates of acclimation, or whether it can be attributed to differences in the plant's ability to modify these cellular components. So the objective of this research was to evaluate the physiological changes that occur in crowns of these perennial ryegrass accessions during acclimation and how those mechanisms influence freezing tolerance. Our study consisted of four accessions, which were chosen based on research that was conducted at the University of Minnesota, previously 2 years of field work, as well as a subsequent 1 year study in a controlled growth environment chamber was conducted. And what was seen is that in comparison to the Czech, which is NK200, which is a perennial ryegrass cultivar known for having enhanced freezing tolerance, that two of these accessions consistently had better freezing tolerance compared to the Czech, and from now we'll refer to those as tolerant 1 and tolerant 2. Also, consistently they saw that two freeze-susceptible accessions were performed poorer than NK200, and we'll refer to those as susceptible 1 and susceptible 2. So these plants were established from single seeds and maintained in a greenhouse for 3 months for establishment. They were maintained at 5 centimeters and watered 3 times per week and fertilized weekly. After the 3 month establishment period, they were moved to a controlled growth environment chamber, at which point acclimation treatments were initiated. And these treatments consisted of the plants being exposed to 20 degrees Celsius consistent temperature, as well as a 10-hour photo period at 300 par. So we made weekly measurements on these plants, and these parameters included the measurement of leaf photochemical efficiency through the use of chlorophyll fluorescence. And so the importance of measuring this is in order to monitor the integrity of the photosynthetic apparatus through the acclimation process, because it's been shown in previous literature that any inhibition of photosynthesis through this period could negatively impact the plant's ability to fully acclimate to freezing temperatures. In addition, we harvested plants for crown material for carbohydrate analysis, and specifically we were looking at total water-soluble carbohydrates, sucrose, reducing sugars, which are consisted of glucose and fructose, as well as raffinose oligosaccharides, which are composed of raffinose and stachyose. Also, we analyzed proline content on crowns, and both proline and carbohydrates were measured using high-performance liquid chromatography. In addition to proline and carbohydrates, we also looked at the differences in lipid composition from pre-acclimation to the full 21-day acclimating period. Lipids were extracted at the University of Massachusetts, and then samples were sent to the lipidomics labs at Kansas State University. And so particularly what's been seen in research, prior research, is that during acclimating conditions, plants can alter, lipids can alter in their degree of unsaturation, which helps to maintain membrane fluidity at freezing temperatures. Also, it's been seen that lipid species can change in accordance to cold acclimation. And so there's different lipid types depending upon the different lipid membranes. And for example, we see that galactolipids on the right here are the primary phospholipids in plastid membranes like chloroplast. For time constraints, I'll be focusing on changes in phospholipids, particularly looking at changes in levels of PC, PE, and PA, because we found that approximately 60% of the phospholipids, these were the phospholipids that made up perennial ryegrass membranes. And so this study was organized as a completely randomized block design with 4 replicates per session per harvest date. Main effects were analyzed using analysis of variance, and means were separated using Fisher's least significant test. And in addition, this experiment was replicated in space in another growth chamber with an additional 4 replicates per treatment. And so now to move into the results and discussion, I'll take just a few minutes here to set up this graph, and the next few parameters I present will be in the same manner. So on the x-axis, we see that we have acclimation here, acclimation date, either 0, 7, 14, or 21. And at each acclimation date, we're comparing the 4 accessions. So we have susceptible 1 compared to susceptible 2, tolerant 1 versus tolerant 2. And so here we're looking at, and the bars represent LSD bars that indicate any significant differences among those accessions at each sampling date. And so overall, what we saw for photochemical efficiency, that there was a gradual decline in efficiency for all of the accessions through the 21-day acclimation period. However, what was interesting is that there was no significant differences among these accessions throughout the period, which may indicate that the variability in freezing tolerance that we're seeing is not necessarily related to any inhibition of photosynthesis in the 2 susceptible accessions. Also looking at content of proline here presented as milligram per gram fresh weight, we're seeing that overall there was a trend for an increase in proline levels over the 21-day acclimation period. In particular, at 14 days of acclimation, the 2 tolerant sessions had significantly higher levels of proline in comparison to the 2 susceptible accessions. However, at the end of the acclimation period, at day 21, we're seeing that there are no significant differences between the accessions. So from this research, it's not clear as to the relationship between proline and its influence of enhancing freeze tolerance for these accessions. When analyzing total water-soluble carbohydrates, we saw that for all the accessions, there was an increase in total water-soluble carbohydrates. In particular, we saw that sucrose accounted for a majority of this increase. And overall, what we saw is that the tolerant accession 1 accumulated higher levels of sucrose throughout the acclimation period. Also, we saw that levels of raffinose increased for all accessions throughout the period. And we saw that particularly for Stachios, there are increases at 7 and 14 days of acclimation. However, what we saw was that the raffinose family oligosaccharide levels were similar for all the accessions at 21 days acclimation, which indicates that the possibility of sucrose being majority influencing the freeze tolerance of those tolerant accessions. So here again, we looked at changes in phospholipid species over the acclimation period. And as I had mentioned before, we're specifically looking at PC, PA, and PE. Now, PC has been shown to be a lipid bilayer forming phospholipid under freezing conditions. So it helps stabilize membranes during freezing temperatures, versus PA and PE, which have shown to negatively impact the membrane stability. So, in particular, what I'd like you to note is that in comparing 0-day to 21-day acclimation, we see that there's a significant increase in levels of PC, while there's a significant decrease in that in phospholipid PA. Also, we're seeing that specifically comparing tolerant 2 to susceptible 1, tolerant 2 had higher levels of PC, which led to a higher PC to PA and PE ratio. Now looking at the ability of the plants to change or increase their degree of unsaturation, we saw again from 0-day to 21-day that there was an increase in these double bonds for tolerant 2. And so this was both for these both phospholipid species. Here we're looking at the changes in fatty acid content, and we're seeing that particularly looking at changes here, looking at 16, which is the number of carbons, to the number of double bonds. And we're seeing that over from 0 to 21 days, we see a decrease in these highly saturated fatty acids in comparison to from 0 to 21 days, we're seeing that increase in carbohydrate, or those double bonds, that increase in unsaturation. In particular, what we're seeing is that, again, tolerant 2 had a higher ratio of these unsaturated fatty acids. So overall, what this indicates is that the ability of tolerant 2 to alter these membranes may be influencing its freezing tolerance. So in conclusion, we're seeing that these perennial ryegrass accessions differ in the capacity to modify biochemical components in the crowns. And in particular, we're seeing that higher water-soluble carbohydrates accumulated in tolerant 1, as well as in tolerant 2, we saw that that accession had a greater ability to alter membrane-stabilizing lipids. And so together, these components being altered may help to lower the cellular freezing point, as well as improve stability of membranes at freezing temperatures. Further research, though, is needed in order to investigate other parameters that may be influential in affecting freezing tolerance. So at this point, I would like to thank those that were influential in this research and helping, and take any questions.
Questions from the audience? Okay, let's give her a hand.